The Energy Massage. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. The Energy Massage. We have all read much about the body and how it is a bundle of energy and how every cell of the body is made up of millions of atoms, and these atoms are pure energy working, not needing anything outside of themselves for that energy. And that this energy is pulsating and moving about doing wonderful things. And the amazing power of touch, of our ability to give ourselves an energy massage or of touching anybody else, is oftentimes underrated. And one of the newest medical breakthroughs is as old as man himself. Yet only now are scientists beginning to understand the extraordinary ability of touch to help us heal our physical and emotional and spiritual pain. From an article, these wonderful words have been said. A patient lies on the operating table, surrounded by respiratory equipment and monitoring devices, while doctors in sterile green scrub suits and white masks work over him. In another hospital room, this one quiet, dark, and without elaborate equipment, a nurse sits quietly by the bedside and gently strokes the sick patient's arm. At first, one of these scenes would seem to be taken from the present and the other from the past. In truth, they are both a vital part of medicine today. Although advanced technology is extremely important, an increasing number of hospitals and medical schools around the country now believe in touch therapy, and they believe it is an essential tool for healing as well. Today, scientists are finding that the need to be touched may be a biological necessity, and that the mere act of touching can promote physical and mental, emotional well-being. Science is now able to document the beneficial effects of touching on the body and on its internal machinery. And for instance, doctors at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine and the University of Maryland Medical School have discovered that the heart rates change when people are touched, and holding the hands of people who are in deep comas or even paralyzed produces significant cardiovascular reactions. It is now believed that a Down's syndrome child will walk earlier if he experiences a lot of maternal hugging, touching, and stroking, according to Dr. Samuel Kuslid, the medical director of the Mental Retardation Institute at Westchester County, New York Medical School Center. Decreased spasms and more normal muscle action can be achieved in the cerebral palsied people through a brush touch sensory stimulation technique used by physicians at the Harvard Medical School. Volunteers are used regularly to touch, stroke, and hold very sick babies at the Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital of Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio. These infants, who have often been in incubators for long periods of time, initially tend to appear retarded and not to grow or gain much weight. But after a sustained period of touching, they gain weight, become alert, and thrive. When a woman is in labor, it has been found that touch is of enormous value in making her contractions more tolerable, in reducing her need for painkillers and anesthesia, says Dr. S. Chaplin, the obstetrician and gynecologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Massachusetts General Hospital and at Master's General. The laying on of hands has always been very important in medicine, but we realize more and more that the doctor's hand on his patients is as important as an important therapeutic tool. What exactly is involved when someone is touched? The average human body has 18 square feet of skin studded with about 5 million tiny nerve endings, or touch transmitters. On your fingertips alone, there are 700 touch receptors per every 2 millimeters of skin. There are specific nerve endings for different touch sensations, pain, pleasure, heat, cold, etc. And when you are touched, the appropriate nerve endings are activated and they relay their sensory message along the spinal cord to the brain. Touch is certainly the first sense we use, even before birth. The fetus is in touch with its mother, feeling at each moment the maternal heartbeat and the sensation of the amniotic fluid in which it floats. What's more, Elizabeth Bing, the well-known childbirth educator and author, observes that almost all pregnant women can be seen unconsciously rubbing their tummies. That touch soothes them and probably soothes the fetus as well. The first touch. If touch is important before birth, it is crucial during and after birth. It has been assumed that mammals routinely lick their babies immediately after birth to groom or cleanse them. Not so, says our anthropologist, Dr. Ashley Montague, author of Touching, The Human Significance of the Skin, Columbia University Press. Animals are touched by their mothers from the hour of their birth to stimulate their respiratory and digestive systems. Without such touching, they would die. Human babies, says Montague, experience this essential touching during their mother's period of labor. The uterine contractions of birth do this same thing for human infants, what licking does for the animals. The very process of birth is a hugging sensation. That's a nice way to say it, isn't it? The very process of birth is a hugging sensation, adds Dr. James Hardison, Dean of Instruction at San Diego Community College. As we make our way ever so slowly, the skin and the body receive the hugging sensation of the womb. Uterine hugs stimulate the nerves in the skin. Being born is actually a touch massage that vitalizes the emerging infant. Some studies have shown that babies who are born prematurely or by cesarean section run a greater risk of developmental problems and require regular periods of stroking and hugging after birth, perhaps to replace the pre-birth hugs that they may have missed. Touch becomes a great aid to help primitive babies get back on what was an interrupted fetal developmental track, says Dr. Heidelweiss Alts, an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School and a research psychologist at the Child Development Unit of the Children's Hospital. We've just discovered that if we simply touch a struggling and unstable infant on his open, splayed palm, he is encouraged to bring his arm in to relax his tense shoulder and back, neck and neck muscles, and to help himself find a comfortable position that will alleviate a very dangerous strain on his heart and breathing. Of course, babies born at term need touching as well. Classic studies have shown that the marasmus, the Greek word for wasting away, occurs when the babies are not touched, cuddled, or held. In the 50s, Dr. Renee Spritz, a professor of psychiatry at the University of School of Medicine in Denver, Colorado, observed that one out of every three babies in foundling homes were listless, withdrawn, and very slow in mental and physical development because no one held him or her, and a well-known pediatrician, Dr. John Holt, at the Presbyterian Hospital Medical Center in New York, put into effect a rule that babies under his care had to be picked up and fondled 5 times a day. Soon his sick babies perked up and mortality dropped. But physical health and growth are not the only benefits of early touching. Doctors John Kendall and Marshall Klaus of the Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital at Case Western University have found that touching can also influence intellectual development. The doctors matched controlled groups of children whose mothers had given them a great deal of cuddling and holding within 12 hours of birth with groups of children who did not receive this kind of physical contact. The families of the children were similar in economic status, education, background, everything except the touching. When followed up at a regular interval in their lives, the children in the early touch contact group had far greater language development, higher reading readiness scores, and even significantly higher IQs. Even an older child's growth seems to be affected. Doctors in the field of orthopedics have been experimenting with touch techniques and have published extensive and detailed records on children who seem to show stunted mental and physical growth when they have been deprived of their mother's touch. In fact, 1 3-year-old bone growth was found to be just half that of a normal child's. Roots of touch therapy. What we are now learning about the therapeutic effects of touch, primitive man may have known instinctively. Pictorial evidence is in case paintings of the Pyrenees show people using touch to help to heal as far back as 15,000 years ago in China, Egypt, and Thailand. The traditions of touching healing are demonstrated in early rock carvings and papyrus paintings. And the power of touch has been debated in religious circles for years. Today, the healing power of touch is being investigated by a whole battalion of scientists, including physicians, psychiatrists, and biophysicists. Perhaps the most popular proponent of touch healing is Dr. Dolores Krieger, professor at the New York University School of Nursing. Dr. Krieger has been awarded the United States government grant to study the act of healing or helping others through touch. She is the originator of the therapeutic touch, a healing method that involves the laying on of hands. The therapeutic touch is now part of the master's curriculum at the New York Nursing at NYU and has been taught to thousands of nurses at Beth Israel Hospital in Boston, Tufts University, Johns Hopkins University, Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, D.C., and even the U.S. Air Force Academy. As Dr. Krieger explains it, when she touches someone to heal them, energy is transferred from her body to the patient's. This helps the patient to raise his energy level and to achieve a state of relaxation. Therapeutic touch is so simple, says Dr. Krieger, that anyone can learn how to do it. An aside there, at the Menninger Foundation, where I go and research with other researchers from around the world from time to time, Dr. Krieger was there and showing us the technique of therapeutic touch. And she had each one of us, researchers and scientists from around the world, practicing this and demonstrating this and how effective it worked. And then she went on to continue her wonderful work. I'll never forget that. Some may scoff, but the effects of Dr. Krieger's touch have actually been measured by scientists. In 1978, Krieger demonstrated through carefully monitored experiments at the Langley Porter Neuropsychiatric Institute at UCLA in San Francisco that blood components, the hemoglobin level, and brain waves change in both healer and patient during a healing session. Although scientists do not yet understand exactly what happens during therapeutic touch or what kind of energy is being transferred, they have several theories. Some believe that touching stimulates our body's peripheral nerves, which in turn cause the central nervous system to release the chemical endorphin, our body's natural pain killers. Another theory is that the energy passing from the healer to the patient during therapeutic touch is electrical, and indeed, all people as well as plants and animals have electrical energy emanating from them. A third theory is that the results of this controversial theory are due to a placebo effect, which occurs when patients believe so strongly that they are being helped that they actually feel better, says Kruger. Even if therapeutic touch is just a placebo, placebos have been noted to help in over 30% of illnesses. Whatever is happening, the healing process has actually been photographed with Carilion photography, an experimental method of photography for photographing the energy aura that surrounds all living things. For instance, when pictures were taken of Dr. Kruger's fingertips before, during, and after a healing therapy session, the first photos were dim. But those taken during the session and after were glowing with an intensity, an intensely bright corona, indicating that a great deal of energy was being emitted from her fingertips. Touch is often used to reduce pain. There is just too much evidence around that it's real for me to ignore it in my practice, says Dr. Mary Howell, pediatrician at Massachusetts General Hospital and Children's Hospital. I don't substitute it for drugs or surgery when they are appropriate, but therapeutic touch is just as important as the medical technique as any other way. I often use it to reduce pain, and I think it also promotes healing in connective tissues, injuries such as ligaments, sprains, and even fractures. An RX for pain and healing. Touch also can be a tremendous value in traumatic injuries, Dr. Frederick J. Stoddard, Director of Psychiatry at the Shriners Burns Institute in Boston. He says, touching can be a major antidepressant and is one of the most important aspects of rehabilitation in any acute illness or severe physical trauma, including severely burned patients. Anita Wright, administrative supervisor of nurses at the Shriners Burn Institute, agrees. Sometimes touch is the only contact we have with our burn patients, and it can be life-sustaining because all the medicines in the world, all the antiseptic measures in the world don't help if a patient's will to live is gone. When I reach under the air vent in which a patient has been isolated from the world because it's necessary to provide a sterile environment for him, and I rub the only part of the patient's body that has not been burned, the top of the head, say, I know his will to live is stimulated. I know that touching him, holding his hand for 5 minutes, brings him back to the world of the living. Every nurse knows how strong the mind-body connection is, and if I can put the mind at ease, relax, and stimulate a person's spirit, his body responds, his pain lessens. How does touching alleviate pain? In fact, it probably works in a similar way to acupuncture. The key words are counter-irritation. When you rub a head or a stomach that aches, you're actually reducing the pain impulse to the brain by providing or promoting other reservoirs of sensation to block these pain impulses, explains Dr. S. Bertrove Wolf, director of the Comprehensive Pain Center at New York University Medical Center. The whole theory of acupuncture, or acupressure, is nothing more than a sophisticated touching technique. You can try the counter-irritation theory the next time you're having oral or dental pain. Touch or rub the flesh between the thumb and the forefinger of your hand. The huku, H-O-K-U, trigger point in acupressure terms. And you will probably feel relief immediately. Touch affects our behavior as well as our health. Psychological experiments have shown repeatedly that touching is extremely pervasive and that it can be used as a means of manipulation. Two experiments, for instance, were conducted at Purdue University by Dr. Richard Heslin, an associate professor of psychiatric and psychological sciences there. In one, he asked the library clerks to touch some borrower on their hands, but not to touch others when they presented their library cards. Heslin then stopped the borrowers outside to question them. The results showed that those who were touched for even a second were far more likely to report positive feelings about themselves and the library itself and the clerks who helped them, even when they were not aware of being touched. In another experiment, Heslin asked the students to leave a dime in a public telephone booth. As the student approached the person who had entered the booth just after she left him, she'd ask, "Pardon me, but I think I left my dime in there. Did you find it?" The answer, almost invariably, was no. Then, on routine, it was changed. And, along with the question, the student would gently touch the person on his arm for a few seconds. This way, she got the dime back almost every time. Touch can also be a clear indication of power. It can be friendly, but it can say, "I am in charge here." Your boss may throw her arm around your shoulder, but you probably wouldn't do the same back to her. Doctors feel free to pat nurses on the back. Teachers touch students. Executives touch secretaries. But the person of lower status rarely reciprocates. In other ways, touch can be a powerful communicator because certain touches convey messages as clearly as if a loudspeaker boomed out the information. An angry squeeze, a cold handshake, a trembling hand, the touch of intimacy all speak volumes. Even touching yourself, biting your nails, rubbing your hands together, tapping your knee, can send in turn messages of nervousness, satisfaction, and impatience. Unfortunately, however, the instinctive need to touch and to reach out is sometimes hampered by other cultural teachings. Many people in America, for instance, are brought up thinking that touch must be aggressive or sexual. Nothing in between. It's often considered improper for people, especially men, to touch each other casually. Fathers even tend to draw back from cuddling their sons and roughhousing with their daughters. And if we were ever so slightly to touch a stranger, we apologize profusely. And if we had stolen, as if we had stolen something from him. This cultural taboo was demonstrated dramatically by Dr. Sidney Girard, a psychologist at the University of Florida. He sat in a coffee shop all over the world, simply to count the times one person touched another in an hour. In Puerto Rico, his study reports there were 180 touches in an hour. In France, there were 110. And in America, there were only two. In England, there were none. Considering recent findings, this study is an alarming commentary on our culture and may not bode well for our physical and emotional health. The many powers of touch were recognized by primitive man and documented in the Bible. And it was Michelangelo, both as a shrewd observer and as a great artist, who in his Sistine Chapel masterpiece so memorably portrayed God giving life to Adam through the touch of his hand. From our first moment to our last, touch has the power to soothe, to comfort, to heal, and it is the means by which we satisfy our most basic human needs. Yes, we have indeed the wonderful feeling, the amazing power of touch. The amazing power of touch can be felt by you every day as you give yourself an energy massage, gently moving your fingertips over your body, just a hair's breadth above your body, letting the energy of your fingertips and the energy of your body communicate, like the nerve axons in your brain in itself. As you do this, a communication is established, and as you speak the word, "I like me, I like me," as you gently move your fingertips over your body, you bring about a condition in your body that is immeasurably beautiful, fantastic, healing, blessing, illuminating. So we've had an amazing journey today. Think about these things. They're meant just for you. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.